You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
Andrew McCart, IFL TV in association with MTK Global. Delighted, as always, to be joined by Joe Gallagher. Joe, this time last year, I said to you about 2 hours ago that I took a picture of you and Eddie Reynoso discussing trying to make this fight and whatnot in Phoenix last year. Who would have known that exactly 1 year later that the fight would have been done? How delighted are you to finally get this over the line?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's got a year. That's gone quick, hasn't it? But no, at the time there, Eddie Reynoso, I remember him saying he was going to go off and speak to Canelo over the Christmas time and suggest to fight Callum Smith. Then we had Callum or Billy Joe in May? Then there's a pandemic. Then there was Caleb Plant, but here we are now a year on and it's all systems go. We've been here a few days, we've all been tested negative and the fight's on.
Again, this, when we were sitting over there having a quick coffee this morning time, Callum looks so relaxed. I mean, how is this sort of like, I know it's not been much of a training camp, but Callum has been in the gym, but you have had like 4 weeks notice or 5 weeks notice, what is it, but why is Callum so relaxed going into this massive fight against Canelo, the pound for pound king of the sport? How has he managed to stay relaxed and calm over this?
It's always been like that, always, in all the big fights, whether it was against Mendy first time or the big Liverpool showdown with Rocky, George Groves over in Jeddah. He's always been that. He's always laid back. You'll see him most probably fight day or after the weigh-in, just same laid back, and that's a great quality to have. But that's just Callum. That's everyone who knows him knows that's what he's like.
He does look calm and collected. I read an interview as well that Callum's, the way people are looking at Callum, like he's not looking at this like he's just to make up the numbers on this fight. He's here to win, isn't he?
100%, we're all here to win. Callum Smith wouldn't take the fight if he didn't think he could win. It's a huge opportunity. The fact that he took it on 4.5 weeks' notice is huge credit to him. And it's a case of where everyone's saying, oh, wait till next year and wait till there's a crowd or there's more money. Listen, Canelo could have got more money. Callum Smith could have got more money. Could have been an 80,000 stadium. But Callum Smith's like, no, I want the fight. Let's do it. And like I say, the four and a half weeks preparation, that's what we've got. And we've done the best that we can doing it. The sparring partners, we haven't been able to get who we wanted from having a pool full of talent. Now we're going to a hot tub full of talent and we're trying to get people to do certain things. But all that's done now, we're here, and we're definitely here to win this. Callum Smith's the 168 in the world, and he's going fighting the pound for pound, number one in the world, and not many people get that opportunity in life. And not only that, though, the two Ring Magazine champions fighting each other, that's another huge, massive thing to be involved with that. But Callum's got all the attributes to go and do a number and win this.
You mentioned yourself, two Ring Magazines, Canelo's the 160, Callum's 168. Now the WBC title's on the line. It seems like, for Callum, this is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, this fight. I mean, talk to me a little bit about that Ring Magazine. I think only 16 times, 17 times in the history of the sport that two current Ring Magazine champions are facing off. Have you spoke to Callum about that at all?
No, I haven't, but I'm sure I will. I'll drop it in somewhere from now till then, but I'm sure I'll be aware of it. But for the likes, I think, say Mayweather-Hatton, Kawasaki-Hopkins, Hagler-Hearns, Agüero-Pryor, it's like, wow, Callum Smith, Canelo-Mayweather, but it's like, wow, you're putting yourself onto that list, that Hall of Fame list, and to be part of that, I think he's the third only Brit to be involved in that, so huge, massive achievement just being involved in that. So like you say, it's just the event itself. It isn't a typical Canelo fight week. There's not 80,000, there's not loads of press, there's not loads of photographers, no one mithering, and it's very much when we went to Jeddah, it was in weird circumstances, a polite crowd, a different place that's not used to boxing. And here we are again in a place where we're in a bubble and it's all weird. Like I say, Canelo's training in his room. I don't think he's been used to that much, but it's weird, but it doesn't matter. It comes Saturday night, 10 o'clock this time, 4 o'clock back home in the morning, and we can't wait for it.
I'm guessing Canelo's got a big room to do training in there. I hope he's not the size of my room anyway. I spoke to Paul Smith, and I said to him, I used to think that for the people that isn't giving Callum a chance, I used sort of like Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko as an example. Like every good big fighter beats, not every, but every good big fighter beats a good little fighter in terms of just size and the bullying and stuff like that. Can we see that sort of same scenario where Callum is just the bigger man in this fight and that's what wins him the fight against Canelo?
Yeah, you could do, but as we just spoke on the ring for ring fights, you look sometimes the little men have come up and beaten the bigger men. So there is that, but Callum's got the presence, he's got the height, and you weren't involved last night with the training session we had last night. He has to use his presence, his size, and made him feel that he is inferior. It's, all them type of things. But I'm just really looking forward to Callum going in there. When you touched on people saying, oh, they're not giving him a chance, well, they're just general haters, whether they hate Gallagher's gym or whether it's Smith. That's whether there's still people down, whoever supporting John Ryder. That's just how it is in England, isn't it? So there you go. But there's, for them few that's like that, there's loads more. Do you know what I mean? We've had Jurgen Brehm, we've had loads of support messages coming in. So Peter Fiore, Ricky Hatton has said, Peter Fiore. Do you know what I mean? There's lots and lots. So it's just like, that's it. We're not bothered about this. Is about Callum Smith, his career. And Callum is a very humble kid. He doesn't need to be a kid to be banging his chest and saying, I'm the best, I'm this. He's never been like that. He's handled success well. He's handled his role as a world champion well. He's conducted himself well. And he's going in there now to go and prove to everybody that he is the best in the world at his weight division, and obviously a chance to beat the pound for pound number one. I'm not saying Callum beats him and becomes number one pound for pound, number one, but he is in that conversation then with a Crawford or whoever in UA, do you know what I mean? So and that's another huge opportunity. I think the nearest anyone's been, I think it was either Lennox Lewis or Kyle Zagge, the highest they ever got was number three. So there's lots of goals here for Callum Smith to achieve.
Oh, no, obviously, you've got a game plan. You and Callum have obviously been working on the game plan. You probably can't tell me because it might get out, whatever. But does Callum have to go there and stop Canelo in this fight? Does he have to go in there and put it on him? Because obviously, we know it might be tough for him to get the decision out here in Texas, his hometown and blood. But I've seen it many times in boxing. But does Callum have to go out there and really put it on Canelo in this fight?
Yeah, definitely. Listen, if we've got to do a training camp based on, we've got to go into somebody's nearly backyard, and gets a pound for number one to try and win by points, well, they need sacking and shooting. We've never got to win on points here. Never. We're not training to win by points. What we're training to do is be competitive for every round, to win every round. And if we don't get it, then the whole world's watching. It's been shown in 200 countries. They'll see a big injustice done. But the point is we've got our game plan. We've got to impose ourselves. Callum can hit hard with either hand, and he's got to let them shots go. And it's up to Canelo to deal with Callum Smith, not Callum Smith deal with Canelo.
I mean, you mentioned there that pound for pound, number one, I mean, like I keep saying, there's a lot riding on this fight in terms of accolades for Callum and stuff like that. But as a trainer, I know you don't look past this fight. You're not looking past Canelo, but all going well for Callum Smith, there's probably a rematch clause, but is the more organic fight for Callum for next year, after if he beats Canelo, the Billy Joe Saunders fight, is that a sort of fight? Because obviously he wants to unify WBO titles on the line as well. So is that the more organic fight, natural fight going into next year?
No. I think me personally, Callum Smith wins. I want him to retire. Done it. Seen it all. Done it all. That's it. Nothing more to achieve.
He won't, will you?
Yeah, I'd love him to. Yeah, he's done it all. What's left to do? He's done everything. What's there to do? Obviously, there'll be a Canelo rematch, and if there is a Canelo rematch, I'm sure Callum would want it at Anfield in Liverpool and a whole lot more money than what he's got for this. So there's all that, but we can't talk about that. We've got to talk about this first, or we made to look a fool. So more concentration's on this Saturday, and let's go and take care of business.
Do you have a sort of prediction for Saturday in terms of what might happen?
Well, I think it'll be explosive. I think you'll hear from Canelo's team that he's motivated, he's up for it. Like I said to Callum, that's a huge backhanded compliment. He knows he's up for it. Callum Smith is a live fighter. It's the first live fighter he's fought in a long time. 30 years old, in his peak. He's not fighting a 36, 37-year-old Triple G. He's not fighting an old Kovalev. And you have to humanise Canelo a little bit in the fact that, well, okay, then he struggled with Jacobs. Jacobs just struggled with Rosado. Anthony Yarde did a better job on Kovalev until he got beat, until Canelo did stop, and then Antiada's just lost to Alex Arthur. So you have to start stripping it down and just go out there and just do what you do, Callum, let him deal with you, and that's it, let's go.
I want to touch on Liam, if you don't mind, as well. Just a quick thought on Liam. He's here, obviously, supporting his brother. He's always going to support his brother. But for Liam, that's been a year he's been out of the ring. He fought in Phoenix this time last year. Have you got any news on when we can see Liam out and what's next for Liam?
No, not at all. Liam said to me, like, disgruntled the other day, something like, oh, I've mentioned Jesse Vargas again, already did, and that fight's never going to happen. It's a career-ending fight for Jesse Vargas, so that ain't happened. But I've said to Liam all the time, throw your name in the mix for a Eubank Jr. or a Triple G. The kid Triple G's fighting this week Friday night. Liam took a part in 4 to 6 rounds sparring last year when he got off a plane from Ibiza and came in sparring. So I said to Liam, well, if he's fighting, why don't you step up and throw your name in the hat for a Triple G or a Eubank Jr.? I think that's a good fight. So listen, it is however what he's ever he's going to do and his management decide for him. We'll just have to wait and see.
Jake Paul? For Liam?
I thought you were going to take Jake Paul then.
That's what I was going to say. Will you be my coach then? Will you be my corner?
You've got too many good coaches that'll want to take care of you than me, mate.
I appreciate that. Right, there's a pink, the table tennis table's free. You want another ass whipping?
Off you and your ass whipping. You know you got away with it last time. That was close.
I did. Your phone started. It was close. Then your phone started ringing, and you lost your way a little bit. But
I redeemed myself. I gave Andy a whipping out of boxing social, didn't I? So there you go.
You want a quick game?
Yeah, go on. Let's have it.
Let's do it, man. Thanks for this for FL TV, Joe. I really appreciate it, and I'll catch you at the ping pong table. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.